This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 45-year-old Mohammed Salman faces dozens of charges in the Boulder, Colorado firebomb attacks that left 12 people injured, including two who are still in critical condition. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder with more on who Salman is.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Law enforcement in New Orleans working to verify that video of Antoine Massey, if it's actually him. Massey's one of two escaped inmates still on the run from New Orleans. He claims that video was unjustly jailed and that he didn't break out of jail. He was let out. Convicted killer Grant Hardin's also still on the run. Police say he donned a makeshift guards uniform and walked out of an Arkansas prison 9 days ago. Police think he's hiding in the Ozarks. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. State Republicans are proposing an increase in state payments to individual municipalities to cover the expenses of providing services like fire, law enforcement, and sanitation to state buildings. Governor Tony Evers included a $17 million increase for the Municipal Services Payments Program in his proposed biennial state budget. But Republican lawmakers are proposing a $31 million increase. They say that individual municipalities should not be on the hook to provide services to the state without proper financial reimbursement. Republican lawmakers are proposing legislation to make it easier to bring election complaints to court if dismissed by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The bill would make changes to current state law, allowing anyone who appeals a commission decision to have legal standing to bring the complaint to court. The move comes after the Wisconsin Supreme Court dismissed a 2022 lawsuit challenging the use of a mobile voting van in Racine, ruling that Racine County Republican Party Chair Kenneth Brown did not have legal standing to bring the suit. Department of Safety and Professional Services officials say Wisconsin residents could see additional delays to licensing and professional credentials after state Republicans voted to renew only five of the agency's 29 temporary positions. On Thursday, the Budget Writing Committee voted to renew five of the positions in the agency's call center and none of the license processing staff positions. Governor Tony Evers had previously called for replacing those temporary positions with 24 permanent positions in his biennial budget proposal. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddie Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester DL Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL, Packers OTAs continue in Madison. Former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, will be here. And board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 now. Nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2, and Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. I only learned the other day what A2 is, and that the studio in Racine, oh, I don't even have it now. This studio in Racine is like N2. Yeah, is where there's one there. What's your letter? What's the Wausau letter for stations? What studio are you from?
That's a project I'll have to go on, because I think we need more people here, because since it's me and Ian across the way, we kind of know where we are, so we don't have labels that we need to do anything. That you guys have the bustling studios.
I don't. See, now, again, he's got A1 in Madison, A2. The one in Racine is N, and I said, "Well, what's the Lake Wissota studio?" And they're like, "You don't get one. I don't get a letter or a designation. I'm an island out here on Lake Wissota."
I tell you, it was funny. Both on Saturday and then yesterday, I had trips. On Saturday, I took a little fun little trip to the Twin Cities area, and then yesterday at a ball game, and I had to go past the signs for Lake Wissota.
Oh, sure.
And there was this one, I think it was on my way back both times. There must be some construction going on. And one of the roads, it says Lake Wissota, and then right under it says closed.
Uh-oh.
First thought is Kreitlow is making it a closed community. He doesn't want anybody hanging out.
It's those Trump budget cuts. We have to close the lake. We can't have nice things right now. Folks listening for the updated forecast, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is out today. Hopefully have her back tomorrow, but it's not tough to see what we're going to be facing throughout a big chunk of Wisconsin today as a cold front comes through with some showers, thunderstorms. They might be strong to severe later on. And the other weird thing, Chad, is that you're thinking, oh, the rain's going to come through and we won't have any of that Canadian wildfire smoke. No, that front is actually just ushering in more of it. It's helping it into the state. And so I literally just saw a National Weather Service update that said today, smoky rain. That's a first for me.
Well, apparently, at least there's one National Weather Service operator that has full-time meteorologist. Don and Elon.
Now, I did just see a headline someplace that said that
they're hiring some new ones.
They're hiring some folks, and I had the story earlier from the Journal Sentinel about how a popular librarian for the Bad River Public Tribal Library has been reinstated, again through court order, of course. And so it really does set up what I think a lot of us saw coming early on, is that Trump was going to try to make a bunch of these cuts. Obviously, he can't legally. So courts would say, no, that would be breaking the law. You can't do that. And so he can now go back to his MAGA constituency and say, hey, I tried, but the deep state wouldn't let me. No, the law wouldn't let you. You can do all kinds of things as a president. You just have to follow the law to do it. I don't think that's asking too much.
Well, also, it helps if you have some competency around you. I mean, that's, I think so much of it has to do with, hey, if you have a game plan to, again, I mean, the idea that you go around trying to look into areas that could perhaps be a little bit more tight. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but you put a bunch of incompetence into these positions, this is what happens. And then all of a sudden you come out with this grandiose, you know, statements and about how much you're going to be saving, and then you don't find it. Then all of a sudden the lies start coming, and it's a vicious circle. And I think number one, the incompetence was a major factor in all this. And number two, again, don't come out and make, well, we're going to find this number. Hey, you're going to find whatever you find. And I think sometimes you put yourself into a corner, and it just makes things worse than if you would have said, hey, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on, and hopefully we'll be able to find some significant savings and the like. But when you come in and say, hey, there's all this waste, fraud, and abuse, and there's all this area that we're gonna find. Well, number one, you're not going to, you know, when you don't find it, it makes you look bad. And number two, where's all the prosecutions for this waste, fraud, and abuse?
It's funny that you say that. That's exactly what I said yesterday. And then we posted that, and I was calling out Congressman Derek Van Orden for saying there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and yet, like, okay, show us where it is. And so he went into the civic media, you know, social media site. I don't remember if it was Facebook or something else.
Oh, man, that guy just has no time. You know,
nothing but time on his hands. And he put something in there like, kick rocks, you lying sack, or something like that. That's not a response. The response is, you're saying that there is fraud. Okay, waste, fraud, and abuse. Set aside waste because it's in the eye of the beholder. What somebody thinks is waste, somebody else doesn't. But fraud is the big thing. If somebody is actually defrauding us, the taxpayers, and we say, prove it, the congressman's response shouldn't be, kick rocks, you lying sack. It should be, yep, here it is. And the fact of the matter is, here it ain't. And you can't point to, say, one or two relatively small things and say, you see where there's this, there must be 100 others. Not necessarily. Show us. That's not too much to ask, Chad.
Doggone it, with Derek Van Orden, can't we get a little bit of class once in a while? I mean,
No. I was looking at his posts, and language alert here, folks. I'm not going to say bad words, but I'm going to tiptoe up to the line to one particular post. This is the post, the response from a member of Congress, from Derek Van Orden. His response to a particular post, and this is it literally, is F no, kick rocks, you worthless backstabbing jackass. That is an actual post from a member of Congress from the great state of Wisconsin. And that is not atypical of Derek Van Orden's social media presence. Somebody needs to wrestle the password out of his hands.
Well, I mean, frankly, it comes down to, again, at the top of their party, you have a man who does exactly the same thing. It starts right there at the top with the president of the United States, and you go to Derek Van Orden and others. What happened to the old, I guess I'm old enough, I'm sure you're old enough to remember when Republicans would talk about how they were the party of adults, that they were all these hippies over on the left. And I mean, now they just act like, you know, spoiled children all the time. And I talk about a lot about the power of the battle of ideas. I have no issue if somebody has conservative points of view, whether it's on economics or even social issues. As long as we have the argument in a way where you have a battle of ideas. Nowadays, it's just, you know, with Van Orden and Trump and others, it's about like you said, it was a great example. You pointed out a flaw in what they were saying and doing over the last 4+ months, and instead of responding and saying, "Hey, I have a response that would maybe answer your questions," instead it's an insult.
It's insult.
And where do you go from there? I mean, it drags us into the swamp of these kind of arguments, because as much as we try, sometimes you'll come back and I try not to do that myself, but it's very difficult to have a conversation about important issues. And that's an important issue when that's, how do you respond to that? It's ridiculous.
You can't really.
No, and then it's like you're arguing against yourself because this guy is just, you know, I could use a term like box of rocks, but that would be into his.
Again, I just want to hear the ideas, and I'm not. All I see out of him are either insults or photo ops. And he's really good at the photo ops because I'm sorry, TV stations, newspapers in the 3rd Congressional District, please hear me again. He's a master of the photo op. I saw last week again, Congressman Van Orden tours this, Congressman Van Orden tours that. And the few times that he's ever asked a tough question on these tours, he then belittles the reporter and does not answer the question, to which I would say to the TV stations and others, don't put the story up then. Don't just do the field trip. Oh, the congressman went on a field trip. If there's no substance involved, then all you're doing, you're his press person at that point. Don't be his publicist. That's all I ask of the newspapers and the TV stations in and around the 3rd District.
Unfortunately, again, it's a trickle down from what we see nationally as well.
Yes, it is. Yep.
A guy says that's a nasty question. I mean, come on.
Just answer the question then. You mentioned being on the road. You were in Menominee last night for a Wausau West playoff baseball. How did that go? How are things looking for spring sports?
It was fun, and I just, you know, and we talk about these things that get you all riled up and stuff, and it was such a fun experience because it was like different, because I'm in the booth, I'm sitting right to the right of the PA announcer, who happened to be a student at Menominee, who also happened to be, along with her twin brother who was hanging out there, siblings of the pitcher for Menominee. And this pitcher for Menominee had a perfect game going through six innings and a no-hitter with one out to go in the seventh. And, of course, high school games are seven innings.
Oh, my.
And I'm throwing everything at the wall because there's the old adage where you're not supposed to be talking about the perfect games and the no-hitters. And I'm talking about it all the time, and she's getting a little upset with me because she's saying, you're trying to jinx my brother. I said, darn right, I've been trying to jinx your brother for 5 years here, and it's not working. And then with two outs in the seventh inning, it was 2-0 Menominee. West got back-to-back hits and scored two runs in the inning ends. And I turned to her. I said, I feel really bad now.
You should.
But it was such. But it was really cool to see a young person like that who was. I mean, so often you get around these people that kind of bring you down. Mm-hmm. This girl had so much energy and so much passion and positivity, it just rubbed off, I think, on everybody around there. And it's like, and sometimes you think about, and I was thinking about this on the drive home, and we transferring it to somebody like Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson, likes, we could have leaders that bring the positive energy to our discussions. We could. Yes. And unfortunately now it's all based. And again, there's going to be times when we have discussions that bring in negative aspects. It's just the way it is, even if you're a positive person. But we start now with the negative. We start there with all these discussions. And it just felt really good to be around this positivity in this environment. And I'm trying to put together in some way to be able to bring some of that to other aspects of life, because I don't know how guys like Van Orden and Johnson and the like can look at themselves in the mirror, where Ron Johnson's, you know, big projects these days is to try to investigate a guy that may have terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand how, as a human being, that's your first thought. I can make political points on a guy who's got terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I think we need to have a whole different perspective on how we have these battle of ideas, where actually bring the ideas back instead of the political points.
Yeah, but you're dealing with somebody who said, I don't know of any poor person that created a job, said Ron Johnson last week. So, all right,
there goes my positivity.
let's end on a positive note. The Brewers winning streak is up to 8 games after beating the Reds yesterday, coming from behind. Christian Yelich with another home run. Christian Yelich, he's back, no pun intended, or it's just a matter of time. Come on, and I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying these are the things that, you know, we worry about as fans. Like, okay, we're doing great. No injuries, because the pitching staff is finally, but will it last?
Well, I mean, I think for whatever reason, they just have the secret recipe when it comes to maximizing everything they have, whether it's pitching, whether it is their everyday lineup, whether it's, you know, what Pat Murphy does, what Arnold does in the front office. It just feels like they're able to maximize.
They are. Chad Holmes, thank you so much. 98.9 WXCO. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
Sounds good.
Dan Schaefer still on the way. You're up north.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to debunked 2020 election fraud claims by President Trump and his allies. May 29th, a Colorado man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for threats he made to top Colorado and Arizona election officials, fueled by those same claims. Teek Ty Brockbank of Cortez, Colorado, pleaded guilty in federal district court last fall for threatening to, quote, hang by the neck Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and former Arizona Secretary of State and now Governor Katie Hobbs. He also threatened a judge presiding in a separate DUI case and threatened to shoot federal agents if they stepped on his property. Brockbank asked for leniency during the sentencing, blaming consumption of alcohol and online conspiracy theories for his actions, according to the Associated Press. The Brennan Center for Justice found in a 2024 survey that 38% of election officials have been subjected to threats. A Princeton University Bridging Divides tracker found 90 threats to election workers last year alone. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice Division, which prosecuted Brockbank, the Public Integrity Division, has largely been dismantled under Trump's Ending the Weaponization of the Federal Government executive order. The division has been reduced from 30 lawyers to only 5 under Attorney General Pam Bondi. We have the DOJ's details of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The union representing striking nurses at a Madison hospital has reached tentative agreement with management. The Service Employees International Union Wisconsin strike began Tuesday and was set to end Sunday morning. Officials with Mariner Unity Point Health announced the pending agreement in a statement Saturday. SEIU said wage increases and what it termed historic contract language were achieved through the strike. A Mariner nurse who was a member of the union bargaining team said management has agreed to address, quote, key safety and security concerns. Two Wisconsin counties and two cities are among hundreds of local governments listed as sanctuary jurisdictions by the Trump administration. Officials in Madison and Milwaukee said it's unclear what landed them on the Department of Homeland Security list. Both vote heavily Democratic and have significant immigrant communities, but neither has any sort of formal declaration as a sanctuary city. Dane County and Shawano County in northeastern Wisconsin are also on the list. The Shawano County Administrator said its inclusion must have been a mistake. Shawano County voted 67% for President Donald Trump in 2024. The list of more than 500 sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears in the Department of Homeland Security's website after receiving criticism for including localities that have actively supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. The department last week published the list of the jurisdictions. It said each one would receive formal notification that the government has deemed them uncooperative with federal immigration enforcement and whether they're believed those jurisdictions to be in violation of any federal criminal statutes. The list was published Thursday on the department's website. By Sunday, there was a page not found error message in its place. U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden highlighted federal agricultural policy during a visit Thursday to Foremost Farms cheese plant in Lancaster. The visit came roughly a week after the U.S. House of Representatives passed a budget reconciliation package known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which includes several provisions impacting the dairy industry and broader agricultural policy. The bill now awaits consideration in the Senate addressing trade policy from President Donald Trump's administration. Van Orden acknowledged the uncertainty Wisconsin farmers have experienced, but argued that tariffs are a necessary tool to secure better trade agreements for U.S. agricultural exports. He pointed to India, which imposes tariffs of 30% to 60% on imported dairy products, and Canada, which only allows tariff-free U.S. dairy imports up to a quota established in a 2018 trade deal. An estimated 28.8 million Americans will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime. Melissa Kay has more.
Despite how commonly they occur, disordered eating patterns are often misunderstood and stigmatized. Taylor Young is a clinical therapist with Aspirus Health. She said the pressures to meet societal standards of body image can be overwhelming.
Health and weight are not connected as much as a lot of society believes they are.
Eating disorders do not discriminate and can affect anyone, regardless of age, gender, or background.
Both men and women, boys and girls, people of all ages, all gender identities, all racial backgrounds.
Young says early intervention is the key to preventing long-term complications.
Noticing changes in eating patterns is a really big early indicator.
She said open, judgment-free conversations can encourage individuals to seek the support they need. You can start by talking with your primary care doctor, who can connect you with the right specialists.
A team of individuals who is trained and used to working with people with eating disorders is really important to get a comprehensive treatment plan.
Recovery from an eating disorder is possible with the right support.
Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 7.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.96 a gallon today, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 1.5 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 36.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.61 a gallon yesterday, while the most expensive was $3.39 a gallon, a difference of 78 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 3.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.09 a gallon today. The national average is down 6.9 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 41 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled for more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 2.4 cents in the last week and stands at $3.46 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said the national average price of gasoline has continued its gentle descent over the last week, with the most notable decline seen in the Great Lakes region, where a minor refinery issue was resolved, sending wholesale gas prices lower. He added, we're also beginning to see prices retreat in California, a trend that should soon extend across much of the West Coast as additional gasoline shipments from Asia help offset recent refinery disruptions. While gasoline inventories remain somewhat tight heading into the summer, I'm optimistic that increased refinery output could pave the way for further price declines. That said, any unexpected outages could still cause short-term price bumps. An ATV crash has claimed another life. Dennis L. McCarville, 77, of Mineral Point, was operating a four-wheeler on a steep hillside while spraying weeds when the vehicle overturned and came to rest on top of him Friday afternoon. The Iowa County Dispatch received a 911 call reporting the rollover around 305 on County Line Road in the town of Waldwick. The Hollandale Fire Department, Hollandale First Responders, Mineral Point EMS, and Blanchardville Fire EMS arrived on scene. Greene County EMS assisted by providing advanced paramedic level care. Despite resuscitation efforts, Dennis McCarville was pronounced dead at the scene by the Iowa County coroner. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is leading the ongoing investigation into the cause of the crash.
You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. State Democrats have introduced legislation to amend language in the state constitution to better reflect the 2015 U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage. In addition to further solidifying the legalization of gay marriage in the state, lawmakers have also introduced the Marriage and Family Equality Act. That legislation is meant to update the language in state laws surrounding same-sex marriage and parental rights, making them more gender neutral. The bills are currently being circulated for co-sponsorship in the state legislature. Congressman Mark Pocan and local Democratic lawmakers held a town hall at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire on Saturday. During the town hall, Congressman Pocan broke down a number of the provisions in the budget bill passed by the House last week, warning of significant cuts to health care and food assistance programs. State Representative Jody Emerson highlighted concerns about the state biennial budget process, saying it is almost impossible to plan the budget when lawmakers don't know what level of funding Wisconsin will receive under the new federal budget. Appearing on Upfront, Senator Ron Johnson called for the maximum sentence for Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan. Stuart J. Waddles has the story.
If the facts bolster it, and sure looks like she obstructed justice, she ought to really be sentenced to the maximum sentence.
Judge Dugan is accused of helping an undocumented migrant escape ICE agents. Dugan has pleaded not guilty and is asking for the case to be thrown out, citing judicial immunity. A coalition of over 130 former judges have filed a brief supporting her, saying the prosecution threatens judicial independence.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison film critic Rob Thomas. Civic Media's David Grant reports on the circus parade in Baraboo, and paranormal investigator Todd Michaels joins the show to freak us out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not that anybody's counting, but the Recombobulation Area is a now 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, who is also the Civic Media political editor and who also now joins us, complete with Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt from Watching Tommy Boy. There you go, representing well. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on the morning show.
Oh, yes, joining here on the morning. I thought you were talking about joining the club, the Derek Van Orden Insult Club. I'm pleased to be a member now.
I did want you to welcome you to this exclusive club that we are both now members of people who Derek Van Orden has told to kick rocks on the internet.
He loves that phrase, kick rocks.
That is a favorite of his. But, you know, when he told me to kick rocks last year when he was disagreeing with some of my columns about why we should stop having ridiculous constitutional amendments on the ballot every 2 seconds. He told me to kick rocks. And you know what I did with that? I had a special sale at the Recombobulation Area. You could go to the recombobulationarea.com/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription. And a few dozen people joined up. So
thank you,
Derek Van Orden, for making me some money last year.
See, now that's the way that it's supposed to work. And look, I don't even know that we can do this. I was going to say from a serious journalistic standpoint, from two political reporters talking about this.
Sure.
But it should still be a serious topic that a member of Congress who posts 45 social media posts within a 24-hour period riddled with insults and attempts to dox people, like he tried to dox a UW Stevens Point instructor yesterday. We still should not try to normalize this, no matter who's in the White House.
It is a remarkably unhinged social media presence that Wisconsin's member of Congress from the 3rd District has. You know, it's insults all the time. It's conspiracy theories all the time. And you know what? He is not exactly an accomplished legislator.
No.
At the end of the day either. He is someone that has not really... He was posting on Twitter the other day, and I took note of this, and he said, oh, we have workhorses and we have show ponies. There was an article in the Bulwark from a few weeks ago from Bill Leaders who wrote that talked about how unaccomplished Van Orden is as a legislator. I'll quote here directly. Of the 32 bills and resolutions Van Orden sponsored in the 118th Congress from 2023 to 24, exactly none became law. And just 3 bills passed the GOP-controlled House before dying in the Senate, and a single Van Orden resolution received agreement in the House. It encourages all Americans to, quote, engage with veterans. That is the one thing that he is able to pass in Congress. So, you know, maybe a little bit less time, a little bit less tweeting. I guess I know I'm one to talk, but maybe a little bit less time tweeting and a little bit more time legislating.
You're not a member of Congress, although I would like to thank Alicia here, a Navy vet, from telling us on YouTube, kick rocks is actually a common phrase used by Navy chiefs. It actually goes kick rocks in flip-flops, cool breeze. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now I know where he gets it from. So as we talk about some of the stories that you're following, and we're going to start in your corner of the state. Oh, wait a minute. I have to bring up Tony's comment quick. Wait, he hasn't finished the farm bill? No. No, Derek Van Orden has not finished the farm bill. There is no farm bill at this point.
He's too busy lying about Medicaid.
Yes. So let's get to stories there. And today is allegedly the deadline for a Milwaukee area mom and teacher's aide who has a law-abiding record to self-deport. And I'm not quite sure how this woman came to the attention of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but it sure does seem to be another case of, you know, we in the Trump administration are going to send away anybody we like, even if they have twin 9-year-old daughters who are U.S. citizens, even though we said we were just going after the criminals and terrorists. This case doesn't help their case at all.
No, this is a frustrating story. This has gotten a bit of attention here in the Milwaukee area, where you have this teacher's aide, and apologies if I butcher the pronunciation, Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee's teacher's aide, who her case has kind of become this public thing around here with a number of immigration rights advocates, hoping and taking efforts and action to try and get her to be able to stay in the country. But it turns out such is not going to be the case, and she is going to have to be deported to her home country of El Salvador. There was, I think, some legal issues with that this spring, where for a minute there she had some legal representation. It looked like it was going to be able to bank her stay, and now that is not the case. And it is clear that, you know, just this, as so many other examples of what, you know, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of the Trump administration here, what their goals are with this mass deportation effort is not a crime fighting, public safety type of initiative. It's one that is, you know, go back to the refrain from Trump's first term: the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing here with this case.
It sure seems like. And I would put even stronger language on it, that it is race-based policy that they're engaged in by and large, and that it doesn't matter that she has been a pillar of the community, has lived here for 14 years, has a family, you know, daughters who are American citizens, that she left El Salvador as a survivor of domestic abuse, human trafficking, had a brother who was killed in gang violence and feared for her own safety in coming to this country. Now, in all of that, there's nothing there that indicates, well, she's a terrorist in waiting, you know. And yet, to hear her plight, the comments on social media have been downright ghoulish. People going, well, she's illegal, you know, what part of illegal don't you understand? It's like, again, this was supposed to be about getting the undocumented immigrants who are causing trouble, who may be gang members who have joined gangs here, things like that. If you supported somebody like that, but now you're cheering when a mother is being deported at this point, somebody who would like to finish the process of becoming a citizen, it is a very sad commentary on where we are for the humanity of this country, my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and this is somebody who's had a work visa. She works at a bilingual public elementary school in Milwaukee. These are the type of people that we want to have a path to citizenship.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple immigration attorneys on a podcast at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago who were telling me just about how difficult it is to just do things legally. And that has forced so many people to into this bottleneck where they're applying for asylum. You know, if she's receiving death threats in her home country, you know, a lot of these post-World War II, you know, never again type of measures that we've taken on the world stage to be welcoming to refugees and fleeing circumstances where they're fearing for their own, where people are fearing for their own lives. That's what that policy is there for. And you think you would think that, you know, could expedite the process for these people, but such is not the case. And it is again, it's like what you said. It is this is not about public safety. This is not about anything like that. There are racial tones to this, not undertones, overtones, lots of tones.
Yes. It's
a remarkably it's a sad story.
Really, and is. Again, to get to your point about fixing this immigration process and streamlining the process, this country has perhaps rarely in its history needed legal immigration encouraged more than now, with, you know, the baby boomers stepping off the stage, with a labor shortage that is already pronounced. This is a country that, if we want our economy to thrive, had better be more welcoming than ever to immigrants. And yet there was a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal on the table. And Donald Trump by himself said, screw that, scuttle that. We want to deport whatever people that we want. And that's how we end up with stories like this one out of Milwaukee. But we also end up with a story, a very unusual one, that deals with somebody who apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, was the victim of a crime. And yet the person that was victimizing him set things up in such a way, allegedly, that it made it look like he was threatening President Trump's life. And last I can see here, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, is still sitting in the Dodge County Jail. This is insane.
It's a wild story. And I think it is, you know, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, put this out as a press release from the main, Department of Homeland Security press room and all of that. Saying that there is this suspect believed to be responsible for writing a letter threatening to shoot President Trump, and it was all a hoax. Well, you know what? I can't help but think that that paperwork errors like this are being used to deport people all over the country.
Oh, of course.
If Department of Homeland Security is using paperwork errors and things like that to do that, and yet they are making very obvious ones, it seems, in this case, by, you know, amplifying it to the national stage, and less than a week later finding out that this was entirely a hoax, that there was this other man in prison setting up this person, and it's seemingly a really obvious way that they couldn't poke holes in this. And it's just, I think it to me, the story here is that Department of Homeland Security are deporting people for the same types of problems that they themselves are committing
with correct
paperwork errors.
And doing so, again, despite paperwork errors, using masked secret police, using detention facilities that are off limits even to members of Congress. Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore tried to visit inmates at this Dodge County facility and were told that they could not. And when they called a phone number that's associated with it for either ICE or another agency, that phone had been disconnected. And so there was no way for anybody to have oversight and make sure essentially that innocent people aren't behind bars in this country. And that's where we are at this point. Again, it's got all of the elements of fascism with the secret police, wearing masks, people in detention that you can't reach, trumped up charges, deporting people out of the country. I don't know what else people need to know to see what kind of country we've become. Oh, wait, I do have one more, and it deals with trains, of all things. And the fact that there's a story out there that about how there are companies that would rather work with pretty much any other country other than ours when it comes to high-speed rail, because we are so dysfunctional. This was a story I saw on the Civic Media website.
Yeah, it is. It really goes to show how broken our politics is when you see these international companies that would, you know, like to build something and make some money in the United States and build a rail service here, and finding that not only was it so difficult to do it here, it was actually easier to build a rail service in northern Africa, in Morocco, I believe the country was.
It was.
Built a rail service in Morocco. So they found that northern Africa to be less politically dysfunctional than the United States of America in the Trump term. It's wild.
This was from SNCF, which is the French National Railroad, a bullet train operator, and they pulled out of projects here in the States. And again, the quote in the news story is, they told the state they were leaving for North Africa, which was less politically dysfunctional. And that's, I mean, we use the term third world a lot, perhaps sometimes not as politically correct as we should, but in terms of undeveloped and undemocratic with a small D nation, that is exactly the kind of thing that we're dealing with here, as Dan Schaefer tells us about from the recombobulation area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage. engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're in tune to Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450.
Here's Lewis into the motion. The pitch, swing and a miss. They got her, and this one is over. The Bulldogs are going to play in the sectional final game. Ariana Lewis comes in on the relief stint and strikes out the last two batters. And this one belongs to the Bulldogs.
The Ithaca softball team will play in the WIAA sectional final on Thursday at Blair Taylor High School, following last night's 4-1 win over Brookwood. It was the 20th win of the season for the Bulldogs against five losses. J.C. Maxwell was the winning pitcher after working six and a third innings, striking out 13, walking nine, and giving up just two hits. Ariana Lewis came on in relief and struck out the final two batters she faced in the game. Mallory Wallace suffered the pitching loss for the Falcons after giving up seven hits. Kelsey Coleman gave the Bulldogs a boost with a two-run home run in the first inning. Alyssa Muller was two for three with key RBI hits in the fourth and sixth innings, which gave Ithaca insurance runs. J.C. Maxwell, Kaylee Newkirk, Jaden Boland, and Maylee Plemer all had hits for the Bulldogs. Mallory Wallace had an RBI double for the Falcons. Their season ends at 12 and 11. Following the game, I talked to Bulldogs senior Kaylee Newkirk about the win.
Oh, it's awesome. Last year we got beat out in the sectional semifinal, so it feels good to finally get that and make it to the sectional final.
Was it a little bit nerve-wracking out there, especially toward the end of the game?
Oh, yes, definitely. It was just like, oh, all the nerves are up there. But you know what? We did so good. Ari ended the game for us, and that was great. Two strikeouts for her.
Ariana Lewis talked about coming in a pressure situation.
A little bit, but I knew I had the defense behind me. So as long as I threw strikes, they were going to get it.
Do you come in much on relief? I mean, you usually start the games, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes I'll come in, but usually not. Just looking to throw strikes. That's all I was hoping for.
Bulldogs senior Alyssa Muller led the Bulldogs at the plate.
That felt amazing. I've been waiting for that for a long time. It's just amazing.
Bulldog catcher Holly King picked off a Brookwood runner in the seventh inning, which was a huge play. I asked her afterwards about getting the win.
Hot weather, hot weather. Putting the gear on. I'm glad we got this game over in seven at least.
Yeah.
Not going to eight.
As the catcher, yeah, you kind of take the brunt wearing all that equipment, don't you?
Definitely. But I'm glad the pitchers weren't throwing too wild today. Maybe a little bit in the beginning, but she locked back in and then already finished strong. So,
got it done. What does this team have to do if you're going to get to state, play at Goodman Diamond next week?
Honestly, if everybody plays consistent, it's not hard to get runs, not hard to get plays. You just have to play consistent.
With the 4-1 win, Ithaca now one win away from playing at the WIAA State Tournament. They will face the winner of this week's game between Columbus Catholic and Blair Taylor. The sectional final game is scheduled for 5 o'clock Thursday at Blair Taylor High School. There was one game in Division 2, West Salem, 6-0 over Mount Horeb. Division 1 teams played Sun Prairie East over Toma, 3-0, and Middleton, 4-0 over Verona. Turning to baseball from last night, the Ithaca Bulldogs saw their season come to an end, falling to the Highland Cardinals 4-2. As Highland moves on in the tournament, the Cardinals jumped out early, scoring three runs in the top of the first. John Dreschmeyer delivered the big blow, a two-run home run to left field. Moments later, Coyer Zadrazil hit into a fielder's choice that brought in another run. Sammy Clary started on the mound for Ithaca, working 5 2/3 innings. He allowed 10 hits and 4 runs, struck out 6 and walked 1. Highland's Coyer Zadrazil was dominant on the hill, tossing 5 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits, striking out 9 and walking 4. Offensively, Houston Boland and Sammy Clary each drove in a run for the Bulldogs. Clary led Ithaca with a 2-for-4 night at the plate. Ithaca played clean defense, turning a double play and committing no errors. Boland led the team with 7 defensive plays. Highland racked up 12 hits in the game. Bennett Smith, Davis DeRota, Cooper Olson, and Jack Terrell each had a pair. Dreschmeyer finished 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Following the game, Henry Bray caught up with Terry Cool, Highland coach.
Oh, it was outstanding. Both teams played really, really well, and our boys are peaking at the right time. Our pitchers did outstanding, and our hitters came clutching.
I saw the pitchers. I thought they did a wonderful job. I really did, and they got the runs when they need them and got the outs when they need them. Say something about your defense, because I was really impressed with your defense.
Well, it's something that we've worked on all year. Early on, we had a little bit of struggles, but practice has been really good. We've worked on a few things and really tightened some things up, and our pitchers trust. I mean, they attack the strike zone because they trust the guys that are behind them, and we do. We make the plays that, I mean, our motto, make the play that you can make. You know, we don't try to make outs out of stuff that's going to be out, wow the world, but we want to make the easy routine plays, and we've been really good at it.
The Cardinals advance into the postseason and will play the winner of the DeSoto-Seneca game. Following the game, Henry Bray also caught up with Dan Clary. He announced before this season that this would be his last season as head coach of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it was that's a tough one to take, but again, that's a game of baseball. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, and we've been blessed to be a part of a lot of incredible memories over the last decade. It's been fun working with this group. I've had that senior class in both basketball and baseball since they were in kindergarten, and so there's a lot of really good memories. I know they've provided the community with some amazing moments that they'll never forget, and that's one thing that I told them. They just got to remember it. It's hard to put what they've done into words. And to think that, that was a group that went, won a state title in 23. They went 20-2 last season. And, had a heck of a season against a lot of really tough competition. And, I mean, Highland, we knew this sectional was going to be an absolute buzzsaw. And, so we had to be able to play on every given night. And Highland got things done tonight. Had 2 tough kids on the mound and kept us from putting something together, and that's the way she turned out tonight.
I look at it, you had the first inning was kind of tough for you guys on the defensive side, but other than that, I think you played really good defense. It's just, you know, you with Sammy on the mound, like Sammy did an excellent job pitching. I think he went to 98 or 99 pitches, and he was I think he was stronger as the game got on. But I have to look, you know, I'm sitting here watching you have your last team huddle here for the season. Very heart-wrenching, the way that you connect with your kids. And I'm very impressed with, you know, with the connection that you have. It's very touching.
Yeah, and like I said, I've had those kids for so long. I have asked them to do a lot. I'm not an easy coach, and I ask them to do tough things, and they have given everything that they can.
Ithaca baseball coach Dan Clary joining Henry Bray yesterday, and that's a look at local sports. I am Phil Nee during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another deadly shooting at an aid distribution site in Gaza. At least 27 people were killed and more than 100 wounded as desperate crowds waited for food. The Israeli Defense Force admitting they did open fire, but they say people were advancing towards the troops in a threatening way. In Boulder, Colorado, two people are still in critical condition following the weekend firebombing of a pro-Israel group. ABC's Mola Lenghi in Boulder with more on the 45-year-old suspect, Mohammed Solomon.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Lawmakers in the Senate now have the sweeping budget and tax bill that passed by a single vote in the House. Many Republicans say they're concerned about how much it could add to the federal deficit. This is ABC News.